produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
We embark upon our new series entitled March Madness. In this series, we'll find that we are intrigued, oftentimes inspired, and we are enlightened by the competition that we see happening in the NCAA basketball tournament. A young group of men who are competing on a high level, a high caliber competition with perseverance and gift and skill, and they have the excitement of all of the nation as we tune in to watch them compete one against another. And oftentimes, when we watch these particular games and they play out before our eyes, we oftentimes can identify that there are times in every game where one team will fall behind and another team will pull ahead. These times, we oftentimes look at as times of confusion, depending on what team you're supporting, times of disappointment, times of frustration. But every now and then, when we watch these teams go back and forth, competing one with the other, there might be a season or a space or time, a segment, where the team that's behind all of a sudden make a great comeback. And that team that makes a great comeback sometimes have a tendency to win. And I thought I'd be fitting to preach on this subject today, the power of a great comeback, overcoming deficit through faith. Let me say it again, the power of a comeback, overcoming deficit through faith. Amen. That's what I see when I read this text. That's what I sense Paul was trying to share with us when he says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. I believe as we reflect upon this scripture, it will be encompassed of me not to mention how it was that this scripture encapsulated what happened with the University of Memphis last Sunday. University of Memphis basketball team, these young boys got together and hit that court, and they showed us the meaning. They showed and exhibited the power of strength and resiliency as they fell victim to being behind. But despite how far they were behind, they staged the largest comeback that we've seen as a university in the last six seasons under Coach Penny Hardaway. They came back and they scored tremendously, point after point, pulling themselves out of a 22 haunting and deficit that dunked them. But yet, despite how far they were behind, they did not unravel and they did not give up. They went into the locker room, regalvanized themselves, and came back with energy and synergy, only to describe as an amazing feat that they would come back and win this game, trailing from 61 points of their opponents to their 39 points, only to find themselves with the confidence they could do it. A 20 straight point run, coming back to eventually win the game 106-87. What an amazing feat for David Jones and Tomlin. What an amazing feat for Javon. These players significantly contribute to this win through their points and through their rebounds and through their assists. But I want to tell somebody, in case we think for 1 minute that's how they won the game, it was not just because of these three young players, but they won the game because they understood the value of teamwork. And they depended on the people who were on the team to make sure they could come back from what they found themselves falling behind in. It was extraordinary how the game started. These young boys seemed to be struggling. They had internal struggles, and then they had external factors working against them called UAB. And that's how life is. Sometimes when we play the game of life, don't be surprised if you have internal struggles. And every now and then, emotionally, we find ourselves in some type of conflict that even when we go through life, sometimes we get depressed, don't we?
Amen.
Sometimes we get sad, don't we?
Amen.
Sometimes we get blindsided, don't we?
Yeah.
But despite how it is, the devil don't let up. Because while we are fighting with ourselves internally, he fight with us externally.
Yeah.
It's no different than this team of young players playing this game called basketball. We recognize these young boys had two fights going on at the same time. The fight internally and the fight externally.
Yeah.
But some way, somehow, they did it.
Yeah.
They pulled back. They got ahead. And they fought through the deficit to go ahead and win in life.
Yeah.
So it's not just about basketball. Now I'm getting excited. This is what I've been trying to get to. It's not just about basketball, my brothers and sisters in Christ. This story is a metaphor for life. That sometimes when we look at the reality of life, sometimes we find ourselves in insurmountable spaces, seemingly as if we don't have a chance to make a comeback. Sometimes we fall victim, we fall behind. Anybody ever fallen sick?
Yeah.
I just want to know who the church is. Anybody ever fallen behind in your bills?
Yeah.
Anybody ever lost something precious to you, only to discover that the more you try to recapture it, the further it seems to escape your hands, it eludes you? This is how life will stack up against you and make you feel like you can't win. But I came to tell somebody that if you learn how to gel together and galvanize together and stick together as a church family, I came to tell you that there's no crisis you find yourself in that Christ will not bring you out of. Amen. Oh, I got an abundance of praise. Thank God for all three of y'all. You got to understand that when you are going through in life, you need to learn who your teammates are. It's amazing to me that these young men went in that locker room at halftime and they came out a totally different team.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me because Brother Booker, you were there. I know you saw it. I know you felt it in the atmosphere. It's amazing to me that they had enough trust in Penny Hardaway, their head coach, that they would believe in themselves enough to know that they could still win the game. It's amazing to me, not only they believe in their coach, Penny Hardaway, but they also believe in themselves.
Yeah.
And they came out and played the game like they never played before. And somehow, some way, they pulled out the victory because they believed.
Yeah.
But I got a question for you all. If that can happen, if that can take place, believing in a coach, believing in Penny Hardaway, and believing in some teammates, I wonder how much more can take place if you really learn how to trust in the Lord. I ain't got no helpers in here. If you really learn how to trust God and believe in Him, I wonder what God could bring you out of if you learn to put your hope in Jesus Christ. It seemed like it was insurmountable, but they did it. Seemed like they couldn't have a breakthrough to save their souls, but they pulled it off. And I got a question for you. And I'll be transparent while I ask the question. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know the matter of the madness you're having to go through in life. I don't know how deep the deficit. I don't know how far reaching the setback is in your life. I don't know what your issues are. I don't know what your challenges are. I don't know what you're faced with, even on tomorrow. But can I say one thing to you? Do you know you can still win?
Yeah.
I wish I had some words in my house. You ought to throw your head back and say, it's not too late for me to make a comment. I don't know where your family is. I don't know about the salvation of your children. I don't know about the health of your parents if they're still here. But I'm telling you, if you're here on today, you still have a chance to see victory in life. You can still win. You can still win. And I'll be honest with you. My participation in your life comes with limitations. I wish I could step in the game with you. But the truth of the matter is, oftentimes I don't have the luxury to. But I want you to know this. I want you to hear me when I say this. When you find yourself in these moments of frustration, these moments of irritation, when you find yourself on the verge of giving up, I want you to hear me and hear me clearly. If you will look to the side and look to the side and focus your eyes on me, you'll see me somewhere on the sideline being your biggest cheerleader. And you will hear me saying, go Tracy, go Tracy, go. Don't you give up. Don't you throw in the towel. You go back in that game and you win that game because your life is not over. And just because you are down in the first half, don't you ever forget that there's a second half that has not been played yet. You are in the first half of your life and you don't have to win the first half to win the entire game. Tell somebody, I may have lost the first half, but I can still win the game. There's some things Paul helps me to understand. There's some things he helps me to see. Paul says you can do all things through Christ that strengthen you. And what he is saying to me and what he is saying to you is you got to have the power of tenacity. Tell your name, you got to be tenacious. That's what Paul's saying. As we look in the text, we see here Paul becomes, he really becomes a compelling example of what tenacious or what tenacity looked like. And he becomes this iconic figure to help us to understand what do you do in life when you find yourself in a deficit. When you look at the book of Acts, it chronologizes Paul's experiences one after another. Yeah. And it shows us Paul knows what it's like to have setbacks in his life.
Yeah.
He is not somebody who is related to you through empathy, but he can sympathize with you because he's been there. Here it is in Acts chapter 14. He survived persecution. He's beaten. He's stoned and actually left for dead.
Yeah.
In Acts chapter 16, verse 25, you read that, you find that he is put in prison.
Yeah.
And he is there waiting for a death sentence, but he survived that.
Yeah.
In Acts 27, we find he's in a ship and the ship has been wrecked. And in the midst of being the shipwreck, somehow, some way, Paul survived it. And he is living to tell the story that he's been through hell and high water, but he looked back and wondered how he made it over. What I'm really saying is he was a survivor. But the question becomes this: Paul, how did you survive? And then Paul would respond, I'm sure his response will be similar to what I'm going to share with you. His sentiments will be, I survived because what was on the inside of me.
Yeah.
Can I say that one more time?
Yes,
I survived because of what was on the inside of me.
Yes.
He had a power, a significant element on the inside of him that would not let him falter in uncomfortable, challenging times. And I want to share with some of you that sometimes you don't know what's in you until you lost everything that's in you. I know that's a complicated statement. In other words, sometimes you have to lose what you have to understand what God already has for you. Some of us are too strong. Some of us are too independent. Some of us brag about how we don't need anybody. And that's why the stagnation of your blessings are present, because you are self-sufficient. But God can't use anybody who is self-sufficient. God uses people who depend on him. God uses people who learn to trust in him. God uses people who learn to humble themselves before him. See, you have to understand this. In the midst of your weakness, the Bible said that his strength is made whole. And sometimes God has to put us in a situation in order to make us weak so we can appreciate him being strong. In these times that we understand that there's a reservoir that God wants to give us, but we got to be able to tap into it, because God can't fill anything that's already full. Did you hear what I said, church?
Yes.
Some of us are too full. And God can't fill us because we're filled with the wrong thing. There's a story, if I may pause momentarily, there's a story about these two bustling cities that are in close proximity, one with the other. One city is named River Town. The other city is a quaint little town that they refer to as Hillview. And what these two cities have in common on the River Town possession is a tower called Blue Haven Water Reserve Tower. Here it is. River Town is a bustling city. River Town is a progressive city. River Town is filled with industries and is growing by leaps and bounds. The problem with Rivertown is, even though it has its share of progressive movement, the problem with Rivertown is it doesn't have water. But yet Rivertown has a severe scarcity of water. They are growing, they are robust, industries are moving in the area, but despite how they are growing and the population is booming, they have a fundamental problem because they don't have access to a modernized water system. It kind of sounds like Mason, Tennessee, don't it? I digress. But here it is, on the other side of the equation, there is another town called Hillview. Hillview has an abundance of hills and water springs and abundance of nature. And they have tapped into every single natural resource they have to be beneficial to their population. But the problem with Hillview, even though they have all of these natural resources, they don't have money. And because they don't have money, their citizenship suffer because they don't have the resources they need outside of the natural resource they possess. So the leaders came together and they decided that maybe I can help you out in your weakness by giving you my strength. And then the other leader said, you give me your strength, I will supply you with my strength to cover your weakness. So here it is, Rivertown and Hillview got together and formed a collaboration to exchange one with the other so all of them could walk in prosperity. Stop, rewind, press play. Y'all act like I don't know what I'm talking about. Do you not understand that God is calling on your collaboration today? He is saying to you that it is time for you to collaborate with me and time for me to collaborate with you. Well, what can we do? God is saying, because there are some things in your life that you don't have and you need access to, I want to collaborate. Every time you open up your mouth, every time you give me a praise, every time you honor me, every time you lift up your voice, I'm going to bless you in return. Because here it is, let me say it another way. When the praises go up, somebody ought to help you in this church. The blessings still come down. And you are not in your place of receiving blessings because you still have not opened up your mouth. You're coming here as if you got everything all together, as if you got everything in order. But you're not fooling me, and you're not fooling the person on your feet. Everybody in here have issues. Everybody in here have problems. Everybody in here have trouble. Everybody in here have trauma. Everybody in here have challenges in your life. But I dare you to open up your mouth and give God a praise and let God fill you on the inside. Open up your mouth and let God fill you with repentance. You need the Lord. I need the Lord. We need the Lord. We can't make it. We can't make it without you. He says, you got to understand, if you want to survive this, you got to understand the power of tenacity. But secondly, not only must you understand the power of tenacity, he says you must also understand the power of teamwork.
Yeah.
Look at somebody and tell them, are you on my team? He says you got to understand the power of teamwork. In other words, he is saying in no uncertain terms that when you find yourself on the court of life, you got to know who's playing with you. Come here, Paul. Paul, can you share with them who's on your team? Paul said, gladly so. Let me introduce the starting lineup. He said, the first player I want to introduce you to is my point guard. His name is Barnabas. Barnabas is the point guard of the team. Why? Because Barnabas could see the layout of the church. He knew the direction of the church and where the church was headed, and he knew when things went wrong how to pivot to put the church in a position to win. That's his point guard. But every point guard ought to have a strong shooting guard. Well, Paul, who is your shooting guard? Paul said, my shooting guard was Cyrus. Cyrus is the one that I can trust to take the tough shot when we down to the last minute and it seems like the game is over. If anybody want to shoot on my behalf, I will always choose him. Because it was when they were in prison at midnight and they were trying to get out of some unnecessary charges. It was Paul and Cyrus that prayed together and called the angel to break open the prison because he was a strong shooting guard. But guess what? We don't just have a shooting guard on the team. Paul said, let's talk about my small forward. If I could give you the name of my small forward, it might shout you for a moment. Paul, what's his name? His name was Timothy. And I like Timothy because Timothy knew how to play offense and defense at the same time. Timothy knew how to preach the word, but not only could he preach the word, he knew how to jump on defense and defend every word that he preached. It ain't enough just to know your word. You ought to know how to defend your word when you come up against the enemy. When the devil said God would not provide, you
Lord is there to tell the devil, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not walk. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Wait, pop the way, it ain't over yet. Now who is your power, Lord, and who is your center? Oh, I thought y'all knew. Priscilla and Aquila is my power forward and my center. They are a duo designed just for me. Husband and wife who knows how to hold it down in the paint. They knew how to play in the defensive paint. And let me tell you something. You need somebody in your life that knows how to hold your life down. Are you 10 toes down for me? Do you know how to hold it down in the paint? Do you know how to get dirty when things get rough? When you double team, I'm going to be talking about you. Everybody needs a starting five. But Paul said every now and then the players on the floor get tired.
Yeah.
And you need somebody to come off the bench.
Yeah.
I said, Paul, you bring off the bench when your starting five get tired. Paul said, I bring a young man in by the name of Luke, the gospel writer. He said Luke couldn't start because Luke was sometimes shady. He was inconsistent. He couldn't be a starting five, but he was good to be the sixth man off the bench. And you need to have somebody in your life. Now watch this, Father. You need to have somebody in your life when everybody else act flaky, that you can bring them off the bench. Y'all got anybody in rotation that you can call on? When your spouse acts funny, when your children act crazy, when your co-workers coming at you, you can pick that phone up and say, I need you to pray with me. Everybody need a loser. Come on. You're not going to win if you're not playing on the right team. Listen, y'all, all of us struggle, don't we?
Yeah.
All of us have our experiences of deficits. Don't we?
Yeah.
And when you struggle, the whole church ought to struggle with you.
Yeah.
When you hurt, the whole church ought to be hurt with you.
Yeah.
When you find yourself depressed, your whole church ought to be depressed with you. But let's stop, rewind, and press play for a moment. But when you get happy, your church ought to be happy too.
Yeah.
When you get excited, your church ought to get excited. When you open up your mouth and start worshiping God, your church ought to worship God. When you tell the Lord thank you, your church ought to say thank you. When you tell the Lord hallelujah, your church ought to say hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said thank you, Jesus. I said, Lord, I'm worshiping. Why God ain't doing it with me? Turn my children to this. Turn my praise God. Why y'all ain't giving God no glory? Why y'all ain't giving God no praise? I don't care how down you are. I don't care how alive you are. You can still win. Self of yourself right now, and you ought to post that thing on social media. You ought to say, don't get excited because I'm down right now, because you haven't seen the second half of my life. God is not through working on me. How y'all know God is not finished working on me? How do you all know that God is not through blessing you? How do you all know that things are about to turn around in your life? Do I have any 3-point shooters in the house? We need somebody who can shoot that three. What do you mean, Pastor, not shoot that three? Can anybody shoot three? One for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Ghost. Can you shoot that all for us? You lost your job, but shoot your three. One for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Ghost. You got six, but shoot your three. One for the Father.
produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.